I'm Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. We're going to talk about travel tips. Thanks for listening. In Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island, the sweet spot for the best price, when should you book a flight? Where are the last-minute winter vacation destinations with tons of flights available, hotel room upgrades, affordable ski lift tickets, and how the American Airlines-U.S. Airways merger will affect us as consumers? The Trip Doctor is back. That's Amy Farley, editor of the Trip Doctor column in Travel and Leisure magazine. Check our website for many of the tips and destinations, things you hear in this hour, WNPR.org. Any mention right there. Thanks for joining us again, Amy.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be back.
I love to have you on. I was so excited last night preparing the show. I thought, oh, she's back. I have so many questions for you. So let's get to a column that you did recently on how far in advance we should all buy our airline tickets. You know, a lot of us think that the earlier we get in there, the better the price is going to be, the more seats will be available. It doesn't necessarily work out that way.
Well, it's funny. That's sort of where I started, too. I thought the earlier the better. But the thing is that that airlines actually, they really don't start managing the inventory of their flights, especially in domestic ones, until about 3 months before departure. So they will, you know, 5-6 months in advance, they'll put up expensive seats for you, and mm-hmm. anybody who wants to break early can get those expensive seats. And then at about 3 months in advance, airlines will have a better sense of the demand for that flight, and then they'll start sort of playing with the inventory and offering more affordable seats. So there is such thing as booking too early for your airfares. So for domestic flights, really, it's starting at about 3 months till about 5 weeks in advance of the flight. That's mm-hmm. when you're going to find the lowest fares. And, you know, on any given day, they can go up and down. So we recommend trying out different fare watching services. I love TripWatcher. I think that's a great service.
Yeah.
But really, that's when you're going to find the sweet spot. Of course, if it's for holiday travel, different rules apply. Then it can be from 5 to 3 months in advance, even earlier. But for most of domestic flights, you know, not during peak times, three months to 5 weeks in advance.
So there's this thing that goes around. People are always saying to each other, well, if you have the nerve and the freedom, and you wait to the very last minute to book a domestic flight, you'll get a great price because they haven't filled up the seats. But you say that's not right either.
It is possible, but I think you have to have nerves of steel to really do that. The thing is, once it gets close to departure date, airlines really think that you're a business traveler and you are not price sensitive, and so they'll really start jacking up those fares. Unless they really, really have an empty flight, then you may catch a deal. But by and large, especially since airlines in the last few years have been cutting back on the number of flights, so the inventory is tighter, you know, the planes are getting more full, that sort of really, you know, amazing last-minute deal, especially in a domestic flight, is rare. That said, for far-flung flights, you know, going far abroad, sometimes that booking window does get much shorter than we expected. That would be more like 5 weeks in advance. I found actually the lowest fares for African trips last year were found about 3 months in advance. They started to fall about 3 months in advance, and then they bottomed out about mm-hmm. 5 weeks in advance. So that's sort of pushing it as far as, you know, waiting to the last minute on long haul fares. But I would not wait, you know, a week or two in advance, then you're really pushing your luck.
Last time we talked about this, but I want to make sure we touch on it. When you say a fare watching site, we mm-hmm. have them listed: Airfare Watchdog, Cheap Air, and Fare Compare.
Yeah.
These are ones that you said you like. So these are the ones where you tell them, here's what I've booked, here's how much it cost, and they're watching it for us. And what do they do? Send an email when the price drops, if it does?
Exactly. They'll send you an alert. And they'll let you know also, I mean, they're good at telling you sort of what the average fare is for this flight, so you'll know when you're seeing a good fare. So it's a good way to sort of get a sort of the temperature for the fares, and then also to see when they're dropping.
So they evaluate.
They can evaluate too. They have, they all sort of work slightly differently, but they all sort of evaluate and then send you an email alert.
We'll come back to, we're going to get to how to get your room upgraded, how to find a great price on a hotel room. Let's, I know a lot of people, not that there's any snow around here, but a lot of people will travel to go skiing. Mm-hmm. And they, when you start looking at the price of lift tickets, that can be an absolute fortune, as you have recently pointed out. So let's talk about your ideas for affordable lift tickets.
I mean, it's interesting. You know, it used to be that you just, you know, went up to the window and bought your lift ticket. But in recent years, resorts have really started playing with their lift ticket prices. And it's a little bit like airfares. Now, if you're the person that waits to the last minute and goes up to the window to buy your lift ticket, you're going to pay the highest price. You know, in Colorado at some resorts, that can be $120 a day. It's just insane. So what they've really started doing is managing, you know, they need some inventory that even if the snow is bad, they're still going to have people on the mountain. So some of them have been banding together, and they've been selling really sort of advanced lift tickets, kind of season passes to their resorts in the summer into early fall. Vail Resorts has done that. They own mountains in Colorado, in Utah, in California, even in Michigan and Minnesota. And if you can buy a season pass for something like $750, actually $729, that was this past year, and you get a season pass that will get you onto any of their mountains. So if you ski more than a week at any of these Vail Resorts, you know, that's paid off.
And I love this tip where you said you can go to the resort's website, and they often will take 40% off the window prices.
Well, they, I mean, that's the other thing. So they want you to buy in advance. They'll say, you know, if you go on a month in advance and you say, I'm going to come and I want to buy a 3 out of 5 day lift ticket, that means you'll ski 3 days out of, you know, a 5 day trip. They'll give you prices that are heavily discounted versus what you'll find at the windows at the resorts themselves. There's also this phenomenal website called Liftopia, which was founded by a couple of guys who ski Tahoe regularly, and they thought there has to be a better way to sell lift tickets. So they've created this website, and it works with mountains across the country, and mountains will go on there. They'll list their best deals on Liftopia. They'll also sort of play around. If they see a slow day ahead on the mountain, they may offer a quick deal. They have great discounts on, say, Super Bowl Sunday, because a lot of people aren't skiing on Super Bowl Sunday, so they have great prices then on New Year's Day. You know, if a resort in Vermont isn't getting a lot of snow and not getting a lot of traffic, that resort in Vermont may offer a quick sort of flash sale on Liftopia to try and drive traffic up to the resort. So Liftopia is a really great resource for resorts across the country.
Okay. There are a lot of people. As the temperature starts to drop again, we're going to, you know, in the next few weeks, I expect that to happen. You start to say round about February, March, I just can't take this another minute. Mm-hmm. And you start looking around for some last minute winter destinations where it's warmer, you can swim. And, you know, thanks to your advice, I see you've got a list here in Travel and Leisure magazine about the quick island getaway opportunities. And lots of places will mention these because they exist. And I see what you have done is you've based them on the number of nonstop flights or the number of flights from major cities to show that these are truly quick island getaways. So I really like that.
They're really accessible. I mean, I thought it was very interesting, you know, a place like Aruba, which is actually quite far away. I mean, that's almost off the coast of Venezuela. But there are a dozen U.S. cities that have direct flights to Aruba that receives almost 100 weekly nonstop flights from the U.S. And that flight time is from 2.5 to 4.5 hours, so it's actually not that far, although it feels like it is, you know.
let me also say about Aruba, as you know, one of the best places in terms of consistency of weather.
Yeah, it's beautiful weather, beautiful beaches, and you really feel so far away from the cold right now. So
you mentioned Antigua, Turks and Caicos. We said Aruba, Sanibel Island, Florida. There are 1,000 weekly nonstop flights from the United States, and Kauai.
I mean, Sanibel is great because there's a lot of flights that go into Fort Myers and, of course, a lot of beach destinations around the Fort Myers area. But Sanibel is wonderful. It's a you know, a bit of a drive from Fort Myers. But once you get there, you feel like you're in your own little world because it's a beautiful little island. But, you know, it's so accessible. Over 1,000 or roughly 1,000 nonstop flights from various places in the U.S. head straight into Fort Myers. So that's really accessible.
If you have a travel question, whether it's about hotel rooms, vacation, things you're trying to line up for this summer, what you do if you have to do something last minute, is there any way to get around those baggage fees? Do you have a travel complaint? Whatever it might be, we are so lucky to have Amy Farley, a trip doctor from Travel and Leisure magazine, back with us on the show. And our number is 203-776-9677. That's 203-776-WNPR. And while folks are getting on the line, is there such a thing as a pet-friendly cruise? I saw you talking about this.
Well, that was another thing that was a sort of a challenging question that came my way. And there, you know, a lot of cruises will let service animals on board. I actually got a letter from a reader yesterday that said, do remind your readers that service animals can come aboard cruises. But if you want to travel with your pets, it's really difficult because all of the different regulations of the different ports that the cruises visit and the hygiene regulations aboard a cruise line or a cruise ship are obviously, the standards are really high. So it's tough to accommodate pets. But Cunard on the Queen Mary 2, which does transatlantic crossings, they will take pets. You have to sign up pretty early. But they have a kennel on board that actually has an outdoor play space for your animals. You have ample visitation hours. They have a kennel master who stays with the animals all the time. So it's a very safe, wonderful environment for pets.
So the animal's not in the room with you. But
the animal's not in the room.
Is on board.
That would be tough to find. I'm still waiting for one cruise line to stand up and accept the challenge to create a pet-friendly cruise that has animals in your cabin. So, but until that happens, the Cunard's QM2 is your best bet.
We are talking about travel deals and all kinds of tips with the trip doctor from Travel and Leisure, Amy Farley. We're going to take a quick break. We hope you'll join us at 203-776-WNPR. We're going to talk about how to get your hotel room upgraded and the best prices. Stay with us. Exactly. Ski weather right now. Find out what we talk about on the show online anytime at WNPR.org. Right now, you can see delicious recipes for dinner. We've got value wines, easy cocktails, much more. Click on programs at WNPR.org for the Faith Middleton Show. And there you will also find many of the websites, online places that Amy Farley, our guest, is talking about. She is the trip doctor from Travel and Leisure magazine, back with us again. Ray, thank you for calling 203-776-WNPR. Go ahead. It's Faith Middleton.
Amy and Faith, I just wanted to comment real quickly on something Amy said earlier. I moved from Montana out to Connecticut in 93, go back there every summer to do fly fishing. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, if you're one of the guys that likes to go out in that prime time mid-June into August, into that western part of the U.S., 6 months is not too early to start getting the tickets. Mm. This year I fiddled around until just after Christmas, and the price had gone from the mid to upper 300s, this was a Delta, into the fours. And a few days later, after contacting a friend, it was almost nearly 500. So I have found this over the years as well. You really have to get out in front of that. In fact, if I could buy a ticket a year in advance to go back to Montana every summer, I would do that. Anyway, so I guess it depends upon the special environment you're traveling into. So
I was going to say, that's a great point, Ray. I mean, when we're talking about this 3 months to 5 weeks in advance window, that is an average across all domestic airfares, you know, into cities like Chicago and Las Vegas and New York, which receive lots of different flights and there's lots of competition. But if you're flying to places where the airports are smaller, receiving less flights, you know, definitely that window changes, and you make a very good point.
Thank you, Ray.
You're very welcome.
Glad you called. Thanks again. 203-776-9677. Amy, let's get into hotels and some of your travel tips here. I was very interested to see that the Fairmont has the chain has a President's Club program, and that's free. And through that program, you can get access to all these perks.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a sort of misimpression that hotel loyalty programs really only benefit road warriors, you know, people that are really racking up a lot of hotel nights. But there's a lot of hotel loyalty programs, most of them, in fact, that are free to join and will offer you benefits just for joining them. So it's really worth, you know, signing up for these hotel loyalty programs. A lot of them, they will offer you free Wi-Fi. And unless you are staying at a discount hotel or maybe a 3 or 4 star hotel, some of them are offering free Wi-Fi. A lot of them don't. But just by being a member of a loyalty program, you can get it at a place at Fairmont Hotels, Preferred Hotels, Kimpton as well, Omni. They all offer free Wi-Fi if you've just signed up. And then the benefits come from there, depending on how many nights you've stayed. But it can be a great way to sort of have a better experience, get some perks. Fairmont is great. Kimpton is also great. They'll give you spa credits, mini bar vouchers, all for just being a member.
And your point is to check in later in the day when managers have a better sense of what the inventory is, so they're much more open to spontaneous upgrades.
Yeah, when I've talked to people who work at hotels, you know, when we talk about how to get an upgrade if you're not planning to pay for it or if you'd like to get that free upgrade. Being a member of a loyalty program obviously really helps, and just being a member, so just signing up for it, will sort of get their attention. If you're staying at a really large hotel, obviously they have more inventory so they can be more flexible. If you're staying at a new hotel, they want to court your loyalty, so they'll sort of be more amenable. But also if you check in later in the day, they know who's already in the suites. They have a good sense of what's going on at the hotel for the night, and so they may, you know, just spontaneously upgrade you if they have a better room for you.
I want to talk with you in a second about this website that is a last-minute deal aggregator. So they're looking for the rock-bottom prices for unsold rooms 3 days in advance of your visit. So it's good to check in with this. We'll tell you about that in just a minute. Jamie, Faith Middleton, Amy Farley from Travel and Leisure. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Faith.
Hi, Jamie.
We're one of those families that's trying to get away at the beginning of March.
Okay.
And we've been a little slow on the draw. For the past few years, we've been going to Puerto Rico. And now we're looking to branch out further into the Caribbean. And my husband has been eyeing Eleuthera. And we've been, I don't know, Amy, if you've been there, if you have any insights or opinions about Eleuthera, but we're also finding it really interesting in terms of flights. They're kind of costly. And then to get back, it seems that nothing comes back from the Bahamas to Miami and continues further on into the, up to New York, or Bradley for that matter. Kind of everything shuts down at 11 o'clock at night or something. So I don't know what your experience is with Eleuthera and if it's a good place to take an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Let's talk about that.
Well, I think I was last in Eleuthera probably when I was 11, and I had a wonderful time.
Well, that's great.
I can't speak to the flight situation, though. I mean, I know it can be tough, and I will say, again, there's a lot of caveats to this 3 months to 5 weeks in advance rule, but I was speaking to an airfare expert about how far in advance to book your spring break tickets, and he said, expect that the airlines know exactly when the school districts surrounding various airports go on spring break, and they will adjust those airfares to warm weather destinations accordingly. So spring break is another one of those exceptions where you should really be looking for your tickets further in advance. So that may be the situation with Eleuthera. It may be that they just have fewer flights, and those flights in the evening are all that's available.
What about St. Martin, Amy?
I honestly don't know about Lyft into St. Martin directly. I know that it is a lovely destination, but I can't speak to the airlift directly there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, good luck. I hope this vacation works out for you. Oh, we lost her. Okay. Felicia, Faith Middleton, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was just wondering, I often book some of my trips to like a third party, like Expedia or Priceline.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, like, what when you check into those hotels, are they aware that you're checking into a third party? Do you get treated in a different way, or can you still ask for, like, we're staying at a Ritz-Carlton in April. We booked it through Expedia. I was just wondering if you could still maybe look for some of those upgrades, even though you booked through a third party.
That's a good question.
You know, that is a terrific question. And getting a really straight answer from hotel people about that is actually hard. You know, I've heard conflicting things. I think that it is in hotels' interest to say that they treat all customers the same. But I have talked to some people who work at hotels off the record, and they have said that they know the difference. I mean, they do know. Their reservation systems do tell them who's booking directly with them and who is booking through a third-party site. And they do know the difference. And, you know, we did something for an upcoming issue on you know, what to do if your hotel is overbooked and they don't have enough rooms available. And our source did tell us that, you know, the people that book through third-party websites will be the first ones that are taken to different hotels. So if you book directly with the hotel, you'll get to stay. So I do think they prioritize, you know, they definitely try to give everybody great service, but when push comes to shove, if you've booked directly with the hotel, they'll definitely appreciate that more. And I should note, if you are interested in racking up points through hotel loyalty programs, though, you know, if you book your airfare through Expedia, you can get miles on American Airlines, say. But if you book a hotel on Expedia, you will not get points for that hotel program. So they do not honor them if you've booked through a third-party website. So if you want to rack up your hotel loyalty points, again, it makes sense to go directly through the hotel.
Felicia, you must be wondering, as I am, how often do they do this? Where they, do all hotels overbook the hotel?
No, it is a rare occurrence. But it can happen, you know, if there's a big conference going on in a city or big events. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that happens often.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Felicia.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Let's get into some more of these hotel travel tips.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of this site, I mean, HipMonk.
Mm-hmm.
This is a last-minute deal aggregator, you call them. So what are they doing?
Well, we've noticed there was actually a website called Hotel Tonight, which is an amazing site. It launched a few years ago. And what they did is start aggregating same-day deals for unsold hotel rooms in different cities. And they would sort of put them on their app. And if you were, say, standing in New York City, you could go into Hotel Tonight at noon. Now it's at 9 a.m. and see rock-bottom prices for hotel rooms around you. And it took off like wildfire because there's a lot of people that are looking for last-minute deals, a lot of business travelers, people that are stuck, on flight delays or canceled flights. Or just, you know, people who travel a little bit spontaneously or want to sort of, you know, shop around for a better hotel room. And hotels obviously have a lot of unsold inventory, so it was a great way for them to unload it. Hotel Tonight has been so popular. There have been a lot of sites that have sort of tagged on to that. And HipMonk is a great hotel booking site altogether in and of itself, and airfare site, I should say, as well. But now they've started aggregating last-minute hotel deals for unsold rooms, and this is up to 72 hours in advance. So it takes that idea of spontaneity that Hotel Tonight sort of channeled, but it makes it a little bit more comfortable for those of us who don't like to live totally by the seat of our pants. But it's a great place to go, both Hotel Tonight and HipMonk, great sites if you are a little bit more spontaneous, because unlike airfares, you can find great hotel room deals at the last minute.
And I love this site you mentioned, Tingo, and they will rebook you at a lower price if your room rate drops. So that's just like the airfare watcher.
It is. The one caveat is you actually have to book your hotel room through Tingo itself, but then it will keep monitoring that price. And if the price for that room goes down, then it'll rebook you automatically, so you don't have to sort of sit there and worry that, you know, maybe somebody's getting a better rate than you.
Does Tingo get a deal from the hotel? Can they, I mean, what's the, so I, that's the advantage of Tingo, that they're going to watch the rates drop.
Mm-hmm.
Did the hotels give Tingo a discount? Are they making money on that? Or how does that work?
No, hotels, I don't know exactly how their business model works, but I don't think hotels are getting a deal on that. They do, you know, Tingo gets a commission for booking you, as do all of these third-party websites. They'll get a small commission from the hotels for taking your bookings. And so that's how Tingo's working. It's just offering an extra incentive because it's created this technology that watches the room rates and will let you know when it changes.
So would Tingo charge more for the room than I might get if I called up myself?
That's another great question. You know, the inventory across third-party websites varies. You know, Tingo may have a better better rate than Expedia, which may have a better rate than the hotel itself. There are some hotel companies, namely Four Seasons, which has really made a point to have rate parity across all channels. So you will not find a lower rate for a Four Seasons room on any other website. What Four Seasons is showing will show up everywhere else. But, you know, it all sort of depends on the deals that these websites have made with the hotels and the inventory that the websites have left of their rooms. So when you're looking for a low room rate and you really want to shop around, you really have to visit all of these, they're called online travel agencies, OTAs. You really should go to Orbitz, Expedia, Travelocity, Tingo, Hotels Tonight, all of these ones, because you'll find slightly different rates.
Well, there's one, we're going to talk about this next, that will tell you what the average room rate is going to be wherever you're going 6 months out. So that's something. Megan Faith Middleton with Amy Farley, who is the Trip Doctor columnist. Or I shouldn't say columnist because it's an entire section. I feel like Amy's writing the magazine herself. It's so much information. I love you to death. So 203-776-9677. Go ahead, Megan.
Hi. I have a quick question. I'm getting married mid-June.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And my fiancé and I've never been to the Caribbean, so we really want to do one of those all-inclusive packages.
Mm-hmm.
And my question, I guess, was, is the same 3 months beforehand the best time to start looking, and is there a specific place you would recommend? I mean, we want to do one of those adults-only resorts.
Okay, so an all-inclusive resort or a bundled hotel airfare kind of thing?
We're open to any of those.
Open to any. I mean, I have to say, I can't off the top of my head tell you the best all-inclusive resorts, but if you go to our website, we have done some stories recently on them, because all-inclusive resorts, they have sort of stepped up their game in recent years. They used to kind of have not a bad reputation, but just kind of a bland reputation. Mm-hmm. But now they've really become stylish. They've got some great restaurants. So I think going all-inclusive is more economical and also sort of a better option than ever.
Yeah.
And there obviously are great places in the Caribbean. So I would refer you to travelandleisure.com, and if you just type in best all-inclusive resorts, you'll get slideshows and lots of different listings from us.
Right. Amy, can you say a couple of words for Megan and anybody else who's listening about destinations in the Caribbean, because some of them are going to be more expensive. Oh, in terms of eating out, in terms of hotels, maybe difficulty with beach access, whereas other places in the Caribbean are going to be much more affordable. We're talking about Puerto Rico. We're talking about maybe the Playa del Carmen region of Mexico. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say a good sign for is any place that's getting a lot of flights has a lot of resorts and has lower prices. So you're right. Puerto Rico is a great destination. So easy to reach. And, you know, it's fast. There's lots of flights and there's lots of different options. You can stay at big resorts or you can stay at sort of smaller, more, kind of design-oriented places, depending on where in Puerto Rico you're staying. The Jamaica is great as well. And then you did point out the Riviera Maya area. You know, Cancun gets tons of flights. And from Cancun, there are huge all-inclusive resorts around Cancun that are gorgeous. You can go down a little bit further into the Riviera Maya region, and there's this area called Mayacoba, which has several different resorts, which are all really wonderful. And then you can keep going down to the Tulum area, which really has this boho chic, bohemian vibe to it. A lot of people sort of first came the surfers, then came the people that practice yoga, and then came sort of the fashionistas in Tulum. That's the Tulum timeline in a nutshell. But there's wonderful Mayan ruins in that area, too, so you can have a great sort of beach cultural experience and some biosphere reserves. It's really wonderful. So I would say that whole strip, you know, from Cancun south, is a wonderful place to look for affordable and a diverse kind of offerings.
Yeah. Great. But the beaches, by the way, in Playa del Carmen are so beautiful. Mm. Oh, white flower sand, aqua water, just really amazing. And wall-to-wall restaurants in that town from all over the world.
Playa del Carmen also has extraordinary food. New chefs keep coming there and opening great restaurants. So it's, you know, a culinary destination in and of itself, too.
And so affordable. I was eating dinner there, and we were four of us, and it was $25. I was just throwing money at them. I thought it was so sad for the wait staff, you know. I mean, it's just really amazingly affordable. Thank you for calling, Megan.
Thank you.
Okay.
Happy honeymoon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
so let's talk about this site that will tell you 6 months out what the average room rate is going to be.
Oh, yeah. This is a fun site that launched earlier this year. It's called The Sweetest, and it will take the average room prices or anticipate the average room prices in a destination 6 months in advance. So it's a good way if you're trip planning. I like to use it that way, and you're sort of saying, I'm interested in going into Miami. When are room rates going to be at the most affordable? And so you can sort of look out and see, you know, there's a moment in April when room rates in Miami skyrocket and then they sort of drop again. And so you know to avoid that week. So it's a good way to sort of get a sense of what's on the horizon in a destination.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss whether stockpiling your miles it really can work for you and which cards are best, where to find that information online. And we'll be right back with the Trip Doctor from Travel and Leisure Magazine. Call us at 203-776-WNPR. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Just search The Faith Middleton Show. We thank you for listening. And also thanks to our talented team, senior producer Lori Mack and producer Jonathan McNichol. I hope you will join me and enjoy fantastic food and wine in a beautiful setting. Come with me the week of Valentine's Day for my 5th annual Heart to Heart Champagne Dinner Dance, February 12th at the Society Room, downtown Hartford, featuring a celebrated team of chefs working to make it a magical night for you, wines from the remarkable Frederick Wildman portfolio, music from Alex Nakamovsky, his vocalists and orchestra, special effects lighting, dress is festive. Tickets are $90 per person to benefit WNPR and the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. Plenty of parking at the site. Our team of talented chefs includes David Sellers of Max Fish, Jeffrey Lizotte on 20, Brad Stabinski of Shemard Vineyards, Jason Sobozinski of Caseus, Jeffrey Crawford of Jordan Caterers, Stefan Drago of Bell Terrace, and Christopher Prosperi of Metro Beast. And the menu is terrific. This event sells out. Special thanks to Yukon Health Center's Pat and Jim Calhoun Cardiology Center and Fiddleheads. I cannot wait to see you there February 12th. Go to WNPRHeartToHeart.org to be part of my Food Schmooze signature event. And by the way, that is a great Valentine's Day gift or surprise for someone you love. WNPRHeartToHeart.org. All right, we have Amy Farley, who is trip doctor for Does That Section in Travel and Leisure magazine, back on the show with us. And before we take our next call, this idea of finding the right credit card to stock up miles, this is always so confusing to me. I'm trying to read the fine print and figure this out. Do you have a site for us on this?
I have two sites, NerdWallet and CardHub. Are both great when it comes to evaluating credit cards and all the different travel reward programs associated with them. So, you know, it all depends on how you travel, you know, what airline, what your sort of hub is, but they can point you in the right direction to the cards that have the most rewards associated with them.
Okay, excellent. And you can see a lot of the things that Amy's mentioning at her website. It also connects to her section of the magazine and the whole magazine itself. And that's WNPR.org. Rob Faith Middleton, welcome to the show.
Hey, Faith. Just wanted to make a comment on the salt. Someone who was asking about getting to one of the Bahamas Islands.
Yeah.
Well, they could always fly into Nassau, which gets planes from everywhere, and then travel where the islanders do by mailboat.
Oh, huh. Well, that's interesting.
Apparently, anyone can book passage on mailboats, and they hand out mail from the islands and from everywhere else through mailboats. And some of them are old tugs, but some newer ones are fast catamarans. So depending on the person, how long they have to be there, also with two kids in tow, they might have like being able to check out some other interesting islands other than the one that they're actually going to stay at.
Well, that's interesting. Amy, do you know about this?
I'd never heard of it. I love this.
Isn't this great?
Thank you for introducing me to it. I'm writing it down right now, and I just love this idea. Thanks for introducing me to it.
Hey, Rob, what is it called? What would you look under to book that?
I forget. They have I would go to NewYorkTimes.com, because they did a piece on it on their travel section.
Okay, mailboats. Okay, very good. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's
You're
a
welcome.
Terrific idea. Thanks. This idea when they ask you, do you want to, you know, bundle somehow? Do you want to do a car with your hotel room or a car with your flight? I can never figure out who's making out ahead with these kinds of things. So what about bundling your room with your airfare? You talk about this.
Your room with your airfare is a really smart way to go, because hotels don't like to show, though they'll offer discounted rates to third-party websites, they don't want to go show a rate that's so low that they begin devaluing their brand or their hotel. So, you know, if they have excess inventory, they'll do the hotel tonight thing, but booking in advance, they won't drop it to rock bottom lows, because it's publicly, you know, it's public knowledge that they're doing that. But if they can bundle it with an airfare, then they're disguising it. So you don't actually know what the hotel room rate is.
Ah.
So if you go onto one of these third-party websites and you're interested, say, in a trip to London, you can look for a hotel airfare bundle. And if you actually, you know, calculate it out, you'll find that the hotel has dropped its room rate to an unprecedented low.
Really?
But it's doing it only because it's sort of hiding behind that airfare. So actually, you win out in that situation, and the hotel does, because it gets to fill that room and it doesn't have to sort of devalue its brand in the process.
And what kinds of hotels are they recommending? That would be the question.
They'll bundle it for all sorts of hotels. The OTA will do that, the online travel agency. Sometimes you won't be getting much of a deal if it's a five-star hotel in London. But for some mid-level hotels, they can really, and even I've seen on some luxury hotels, they'll go deep. They're just sort of keeping it under wraps.
This online travel agency, the thing that you keep referring to, what is there any advantage to going to an actual a travel agency that has an office, a place you can visit, someone you can call and talk to? Is there an advantage to that?
Yes, absolutely. I would say, first of all, if you are interested in booking a cruise, going through a travel agent is absolutely the way to go, because they really, cruise lines really have special relationships with travel agents. And if you are booking with a travel agent that knows your cruise line well, knows a particular cruise line well, they will be able to get you the right cabin. They will get you perks and benefits that the cruise lines only offer to travel agents, because they really cultivate these relationships with travel agents. So if you're booking a cruise, absolutely, 100% through a travel agent. And even if you are booking really simple travel, like that airfare hotel room in London, and you book with a travel agent, in a standalone office, a good travel agent isn't really going to be taking money off of you to book that trip. They are going to be getting a commission from the hotel. And in exchange, that hotel is going to give them perks and benefits for their travelers or for their clients that, they wouldn't for somebody that's booking through a third-party website.
Mm.
So the third-party website may have the lowest rate, may go a little lower than the travel agent has, but the travel agent can get you perks and benefits. There are some travel agents, if they're part of certain networks that have relationships with hotels, there's one called Virtuoso, and travel agents that are part of the Virtuoso network, if they're booking a hotel that's part of the Virtuoso network as well, they automatically get room upgrades, spa credits, restaurant credits at that hotel. So it can be an incredible value. And then there's the other thing, there's any sort of problem or hiccup while you're on the road, if your flight is delayed or canceled, your bags get lost, whatever happens, you can call a travel agent. They will sort out that mess for you, and they're very talented at doing that. And that can be worth a lot.
Yes, it can.
Situation.
So, okay.
So I can't speak more highly. I've met so many travel agents in my decade at Travel and Leisure, and they are true professionals. They really will get the best prices and have your back in the bad situation.
So Wendy, thank you for calling 203-776-WNPR. That's the number to talk with the Trip Doctor from Travel and Leisure Magazine, back on the show with us. Lots of valuable tips. We have a lot of the sites that Amy Farley has been mentioning at our website, WNPR.org. You can go there right now to see that. Okay, go ahead, Wendy.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
I'm really
enjoying your show today.
Great.
My question relates to timeshares. I'm not sure if Amy can give me some pointers, but Amy, my husband and I own a timeshare at the Melia Cancun in Cancun. It's a very nice property. We've gone there a number of times. But what we've encountered is when we want to exchange that property for another location, often we're very disappointed. And on a couple of occasions, I've found myself going down to the front desk and being very courteous, but really saying, this is not what we had expected, and then we are, given another room that's much nicer. But I didn't know if, in your experience, you had any pointers or suggestions to have to avoid that, or maybe this just happens.
To be honest, I wish I had some pointers, and that may be a subject for a future column. It is a complaint I've heard from people who do timeshares or have timeshares. And it's a fairly regular complaint. I'm not sure that offers you any comfort. But it is interesting, and perhaps in a future Trip Doctor column you'll see my tips and my advice. But I have to admit I haven't grappled with it.
Well, it's a selling point when you're buying the timeshare that you can go anywhere in the world. And and so this is very good information to have come out on this show. So if people are considering buying timeshares and thinking I'm going to get an equivalent room no matter where I visit in the world, there are two concerns. Do they have any rooms in your destination?
Mm-hmm.
I hear that a lot, as I'm sure you do, Amy.
Yeah.
And then this other thing that you've raised. Thank you so much for calling, Wendy.
Thank you for your show.
It's actually interesting. There have been, in recent years, a fair amount of sort of villa rental clubs that have launched that I think sort of address this problem with timeshares. And you sort of pay a high membership price. It could be $7,000, up to $15,000. But once you're a member, you get access to villas and apartments around the world. And one of their big selling points is there will always be availability for you. So.
And are they nice?
They are. There's two that are very interesting, and actually just joined, I believe they're now one company, but Portico and Inspirato, which have really wonderful properties all around the globe. It really is this sort of idea of having having a second home, but not having to commit to a certain place, a certain destination. So.
Wow. And you go for those short periods, 1 week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that?
You can stay as long as you want. They charge per night rates for their rooms or for their villas, but they're heavily discounted. You can sort of stay as long as you want. You can use it as much as you want annually. You'll pay a minimal room rate and then an annual membership fee, which is less than the initial fee.
And would that be, say, $7,000 to $15,000 a couple because you can bring a guest with you, or is it per person? I don't know.
You pay $7,000 for your membership.
Yeah.
And then you will pay, depending on the size of the property, it could be $200 a night if it's a, one bedroom property, or it could be $700 a night for a three bedroom property, but you can bring guests with you. You pay the initial initiation fee.
Wow, what a great... You know how people say, we're registering for China or flatware somewhere? I was thinking what a great wedding gift this would be if you said to the whole, anyone coming to your wedding, I'd like to have you chip in toward my membership at one of these sites. You'd use it all your married life.
Yeah, and fantastic. Invite some of your wedding guests with you. They'll benefit as well.
Bill Faith Middleton with... The trip doctor from Travel and Leisure. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, Faith. Thanks so much for taking the call.
Thank you.
Near the end of the show. Amy, we're going to be in Hawaii for a conference at the end of March at one of the large hotels there. We haven't booked airfare.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to extend our stay at a somewhere that's a little more reasonably priced than at the hotel we're at. What would you advise us to think about as we try to make those plans?
Well, I would say, Hawaii, speaking of villa rentals, Hawaii has a lot of excellent resorts on it, but there's also some really lovely villa rental properties and opportunities there. So you might take a look at a holiday rental website like HomeAway or VRBO and see what they have, because that could be a fun way to extend your trip. If you're staying at sort of a big resort property initially, that might be a way to have an interesting sort of different experience at the end of your trip.
So,
great. And how about the airfare side of things?
The airfare side of things, I would say you should be looking and booking now for the end of March for sure. Hawaiian Air has some competitive airfare, and it's a great airline. So, so if you can get on one of their flights, go for it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Let's talk about staying in somebody else's house. There are, you mentioned VRBO, HomeAway. There is a site for what you say, the Sophisticates. This is a site for high-quality apartments in various, leading cities around the world. Mm-hmm. And that's, one fine stay.
Yes. Yeah. They launched in London, and they've spread to New York, Paris, and L.A., and I imagine they'll be spreading again soon. But they have really, if you want to sort of live like a very pedigreed local, you can take a look at what One Fine Stay has. They will have something from a beautiful carriage house in the West Village of Manhattan, to really lovely flats in London. So it's even if you aren't going to book it, it's great to go on the site just for eye candy,
because
it's a really wonderful wonderful site that they have. And they go in, and you're renting somebody else's space, but they will go in and put fresh linens and fresh soaps in all the bathrooms, and so they sort of give it a hotel touch, even though it is somebody else's home.
I was thinking that's an interesting thing to do if you're traveling with you're going to meet up with a few other people. Probably makes it a little bit more affordable, because some of these homes have 2-3 bedrooms. Okay, well, very quickly, we have a minute to go. The merger, making the biggest airline ever of U.S. Air and American, what's that going to mean for consumers?
Well, what that's going to mean is very soon, in next week, on January 23rd, U.S. Airways and American are going to begin code-sharing flights. That means you could go on American Airlines and book a ticket for a U.S. Airways flight. So that's the biggest change we'll see soon. American and U.S. have both had to...
Got to run. I'm so sorry. Oh, you devil. All right. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time, Amy.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Amy Farley, Trip Doctor of Travel and Leisure Magazine. Go to our website right now, not only for recipes, cocktails, and wines, but for all the sites we mentioned. Great places to look at if you're going to be traveling. As always, this show is about the richness of life in New Haven. I'm Faith Middleton.